This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer, and joining us in the studio is Tim Harrison from Linear Investments. Tim, how are you doing today?
Well, it's Monday morning and a bazooka to start the week with the Kraft and Unilever takeover falling out of bed. Furthermore, another couple of companies have reported some slightly downbeat figures this morning, so an interesting start to the week.
Well, let's start with Kraft and Unilever. Now, why did Kraft take away their offer? Was it purely because of the reaction with the politicians in the UK?
Well, I would suggest the initial reaction from the Unilever board was quite robust and quite to the point, in so much as they didn't want a leveraged buyout and they didn't believe that 3G and Kraft were the best fit for the business. Obviously, it goes back towards Unilever being a brand, British Dutch brand, which has been in the headlines of late because of Marmite Gate with Tesco's, etc. But it's a great business, and it's a very conservative and stable business. It would have made sense in some respects for Kraft to have got hold of it, because it would have given them another avenue into Europe. But as I've said, the fallout has been pretty extreme.
Do you think it was just leaked too soon? And had they had more time to negotiate, I think that Kraft would have come up with a better offer and maybe something could have been worked out. But because it was leaked on Friday, Then politicians got involved and the whole thing fell apart.
Well, I would suggest if you get to any stage where you're discussing figures, you know, final points of pricing, then it's obviously a very serious discussion. Mm. The politicians sticking their oar in, I mean, that's an obvious reason for it to fall apart, or an excuse, one would suggest. I think the fact is that Unilever's board were very much more confident on the standalone business as apart from Kraft wanting the business. They didn't need to do anything.
And with a weak sterling, surely that Kraft will be able to find some other things in the UK.
Well, it's the next one. Who is the next potential prey? And that'll be something that traders will be scratching their heads over for the next few days. And no doubt you'll see some further rumour and chatter over the next days to weeks in the sector.
Reckitt Brankheiser, I would have thought, would be the best option there, wouldn't it?
That's your opinion.
I mean, the other thing was, actually, I mean, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise, because the shares of Unilever didn't go up as much as that you would have probably expected them to have done if it was a deal which people believed in. I mean, 12%, 13% is not the 25% of plus that you normally see.
Well, you saw the chatter come out mid-morning and the share started to rally from being up a couple of percent to 4 to 6%, and then it came out and it didn't initially just shoot forward to suggest that there was a significant premium. It would transpire that the offer didn't really suggest a massive premium anyway to where the share price was trading pre-chatter, but it's the market was very tentative to it. Obviously, at the moment, M&A is the next phase, the next story, and a lot of companies are under pressure to perform, which is why you are seeing some pretty impressive sort of downgrades in terms of forecasts from companies this morning and over the past few days.
Why haven't we seen M&A in the companies which are suffering, let's say the Cobhams or the Interserves or whatever, that end of the market, where presumably one would see that there were bargains to be had, especially if you translate the sterling effects of the last year?
I suggest it's a massive box of tricks. If you look at Cobham, they've had profit misses, etc., write-downs over the past 12 months or so, and you're seeing the shares trading around about 110 right now. Same with Interserve this morning. They're initially called down 5 or 6%. I see now they're down 21. So there's a lot of companies that are struggling, and the expectation is that their businesses, where they are dollar plays, that they should have done very, very well. The fact is they've taken on a lot of legacy over the last few years, which has not really performed, hence Interserve with their waste business this morning and a massive write-down.
So finally, anything else that's catching your eye before we run out of time?
Well, it's big reporting week for the banks. You've got all of the British majors reporting. I see RBS this morning up 5 or 6% on the
back. They're all doing better than expected, no?
Well, again, it's a case of they've underperformed for so long. And if you look at Barclays, for example, Jes Staley came in some time ago and bought a massive chunk of shares upon his appointment, and he's now just about making some money. So it's a case of that with rates potentially rising in the US, then you could see that the banking sector really stabilise. The fallout from Brexit potentially has calmed down in terms of where the big banks are looking to shift their operations. But as I say, you've got Williams and Glynn with RBS this morning potentially pulling the plug on that sale. You've got Sabadell looking at Co-op. That's another rumour. So there's a lot of moving and shaking, and it'll be interesting to see if Lloyds, HSBC, and Barclays report robust figures and leave RBS on the plate.
Well, Tim, thank you. Tim Harrison there from Linear Investments.